Today on Real Radio.
Christianity is exactly opposite of all of that. Christianity is not based upon our merits. It is not based upon our performance. It is not one of the three great religions of the world. It stands absolutely radically alone.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Did you know that some have become believers in Jesus by examining the faith, even with a critical eye, only to find that it differs radically from all other so-called great world religions? For others, well, sometimes it's the other way around. They become a believer, then they learn why their faith in Christ is the only path to eternal life. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses now in his look at the first paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a lesson called, What's So Great About Christianity?
And it's a question that comes out of the very fact, church, listen, that as Paul was ministering in visitation, but also in letters to the church at Corinth, there were those that called themselves Christians. There were those who claimed to be in the ministry. There were those who said that they had the authority to speak to the body of Christ. And in their self-proclaimed declarations, they were saying in the same breath, Paul is an imposter. Stay away from Paul. They're saying that Paul shouldn't be listened to, that he's preaching a gospel of grace, but he's forgetting to tell you that you need to keep the law. Paul is telling you that you can be saved and put your faith in Jesus and the merits of Christ will save you alone. And that is wrong, they were saying. They were undermining the very gospel of God that Paul was preaching. And they sought to do that by attacking his call and attacking his person. It's no different in our day. If you can't beat the message, then what do? You go after the messenger. If you don't like somebody for whatever reasons, you attack them. Why? Because if it is a biblical ministry, then it's bulletproof. Listen, the message is bulletproof. But listen, the downside to ministry is that we are humans. And yet God in his wisdom has chosen to use humans. It is amazing to me. The gospel is so precious and so perfect that I think God would have been completely justified in calling angels to administer his gospel. But he's called human beings. So what's so great about Christianity comes actually through this argument that is taking place in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, follow along with me, verse 1. We'll go down to verse 3 today. That's all we can handle. It says in verse 1, do we begin again, Paul says, to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Verse 3, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. What is so great about Christianity, church? Listen up. It has often been said that Christianity and a few other religions are the three great religions of the world. They'll say Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. I find that highly offensive. I completely disagree with that. Christianity is not one of the great three religions of the world. Those other two may be religions, but Christianity is the only relationship. Listen, the other two are attempts, listen, though they be very similar in many ways, and of course very different in many ways, what they come together and unite upon, that is Islam and Judaism, is that if you just work hard enough, you may attain heaven. If you just try hard enough, and if you just earn enough points, you may make it into heaven. By the way, all the cults have that in agreement. If you just make it by your merits, you'll get in. Christianity is exactly opposite of all of that. Christianity is not based upon our merits. It is not based upon our performance. It is not one of the three great religions of the world. It stands absolutely, radically alone. The Christian message is that by us putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by the way, the very faith is a gift given to us by God, that if we put our faith in the finished work of Christ alone, plus nothing else, like the thief on the cross, then you too will be with him in paradise. Salvation is all based upon what Christ has done. So what's so great about Christianity? We'll see arguments this morning, but it is absolutely a faith that stands completely alone. I like what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, that he became a Christian for a lot of reasons, but one of them was, and I'll quote him exactly, we use different language these days, but Lewis says that when he studied all the religions of the world and he studied Christianity, it was just queer enough whereby no man could have invented it. Think of that for a moment. And don't you think it's rather interesting that people who traffic the world peddling another gospel try to convince you at your doorstep that they are Christians too? But you just need to add our books or your name on our ledger or be schooled or baptized in our ministry. Then you'll be guaranteed heaven. Listen, no way. And so Paul was under attack by those Judaizers who were coming out of Jerusalem saying, don't believe in Paul. He's an imposter preaching this cheap gospel of grace. Rather, and this appeals to the human flesh, believe in God and work your tail off, and then maybe you'll make it into heaven. That's heresy, my friends. That is heresy. So what's so great about Christianity? Number one is this. Mark it down. It is obvious to the believer. What is so great, number one, about Christianity? It's what you and I would attest, is that it's absolutely obvious to the believer. Look at verse 1. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? You can understand and hear the brokenness in his heart, and there's a bit of sarcasm. Obvious because of its origin. Mark that down. Christianity, what's so great about it? It's obvious to the believer because of its origin. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, do we as ministers need again to commend ourselves to you? What is he saying to them? Guys, wake up, he's saying. He's got his smelling salts and he's waving it in front of the Corinthian believers. He's saying, what's wrong with you? You've seen the power of God in our lives. People are coming and saying that we're not of God. What have you seen? Believer, Christian, it is obvious that when you put your faith in God, when you put your faith in Christ, listen, just keep this to yourself for now, but how many of us, during the course of years, first came into contact with the gospel? Was it through Christian radio? Was it Christian TV? Was it reading a Gideon Bible in a hotel? Was it visiting a church? How did you meet Jesus? And was there not a ministry, and were there not others in that ministry that affected your life, and the gospel became increasingly obvious to you? And that today you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're pressing on even into a new year? Why? Because it is so obvious. What's so great about Christianity? It is obvious. When Paul says, do I need letters of commendation? Do I need some sort of approval to prove to you Corinthians that what I preached to you was of heavenly power? He's being a bit sarcastic, but yet in it, there's a brokenness to it. He had his detractors, these Judaizers that were seeking to undermine. The word commend here in verse 1 is a powerful word. It means to announce. So I want you to read that portion of that verse with that in mind. Do we begin again to announce ourselves or proclaim ourselves or promote ourselves? The word also means, do we begin again to sell ourselves to you? And I like this. Because listen, church, this is very personal stuff for any one of us who minister the Word of God. If the Word of God is coming out of our mouth, then we need to leave that to the work of God, the Holy Spirit. If I need to preach the Bible and then go visit your house every day and put a little tracking device on you to make sure that you're walking right with God and that no bad words come out of your mouth and that you know this is going on, you don't go over 55 miles an hour and all this stuff. Listen, that is human power, human influence, and that is cult-like. And Paul's not into that. He is saying this, the power of God is in the Word of God. Paul said, I've preached it to you. Do you need a letter of recommendation from me to announce to you that this ministry has been of God? He's basically saying to them, look at yourselves and see if there's been a change. That is powerful stuff. And I know right well that in this message, there in a church, in any church, there are those who come to church faithfully every week and they are as lost as Satan. They're no closer to the kingdom of heaven. They've been Christianized. They speak Christianese. They can even maybe give a sermon. But they've never been saved. They've never been born again. And that is a great danger. I know that's true in every church to some degree. But there are those who understand what's being said here. When Paul is announcing, do I need a recommendation? Do you need a listen, I would hope to God, and we'll get into it more in this message, that I would never have to seek out a letter of recommendation from your life or from others as to if this church is of God or not. If I had to request that, I would rather resign and go back to making money where I came from than do this. Think about it. Either what we're doing is real or it's not real. It's either of human effort or it's not. Well, how will we know? Good question. He's going to answer that very, very soon. What standard or what requirements would qualify both Paul and us? It's interesting, in Proverbs 27, verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I want you to keep that in mind. We're not looking for anyone else, Paul is saying, for approval, and we're not even looking to ourselves for approval. He's got a very beautiful, heartwarming response to, where do you get approval, Paul? If you are truly an apostle and a minister of God, then where do you get the approval? Where is the evidence? He'll answer that soon enough. In John chapter 10, verse 37, listen to this. It's amazing to me that Jesus was being attacked by his detractors. They were those saying that Jesus was not of God. They were those saying that Jesus was an imposter. The scribes and Pharisees were saying this. In John chapter 10, verse 37, listen to this. Jesus says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, listen, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus is saying, you guys don't like the message I'm preaching, scribes and Pharisees. Salvation by faith, by turning from your sins and coming to the Messiah. Okay, if you don't like my message, then look at the miracles that are being done. And for that alone will you believe. Christianity is obvious in its origin. Number two, in its authority. It's obvious because of its authority. Going on in verse 1, he says, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? It was completely normal in those days. In fact, Paul did it himself, that whenever a minister went, or even a physician, even an architect in those days, if they went from one community to the next, they would carry with them letters of recommendation. In other words, it would be like a resume. Who'd you work for before? These guys, okay. But Paul is saying this. When these guys were coming, many of them had falsified letters of commendation. And so he's making this very amazing thing about authority. What authority? Is it God authority or man authority? And the ultimate thing is this. He's going to stress it over and over again. It's changed lives. Changed lives. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible tells us there, Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God. So listen, church, this is key. Why do we spend an hour on a Sunday morning studying the Bible? Well, I'm sad it's only an hour. I love the churches in Russia. 2-3 hours Bible study. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the reason why. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, that is human spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible does this. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Notice, no creature hidden from his sight is directly connected to the power of the word of God, the Bible. The Bible has this ability. All authority is in the Bible. Again, Charles Spurgeon said into his class of preachers that he was schooling in England many years ago, Spurgeon said, make sure that your sermons are full of Bible and you'll never fail. Why? Because the Holy Spirit uses the authority of the Word of God. And by the way, God calls us as Christians to use his Bible, both private and public. But regarding the context of what we're looking at, Paul was a minister of the gospel. The Bible went out and ministered to people. And in Jeremiah 3, verse 15, the Bible says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart, says God, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Word of God. So Paul, listen, with all the attacks, Christian, guys, are you married? Then you have a flock. At least, at the minimum, it's your wife. How do you minister to your wife? The Bible says in Ephesians to wash her with the Word of God. Think of that. And then if you have kids, you have no business venturing into other ministries unless you've reached your kids for Christ. Unless you've reached your kids with the gospel. Water them, wash them with the Word of God. Minister to them. You are to give them the Word of God. Ministering to them, knowledge and understanding, absolutely critical, very important. Now, Paul is an apostle, and he is very careful to give them the Word of God. Why? Because he knows what's going to generate results. Mom, Dad, you give your kids the Bible, and look, they may go through their trying years, they may go through all the stuff that they go through, but in time, they will remember, and most often it's a time of hardship. Maybe it's even, God forbid, but when they're locked up behind bars, those verses will come back to them and rescue them. It's the authority of the Bible. Give them the Bible and you'll never fail. I cannot tell you enough how content I am in this fellowship from the very beginning. It didn't matter if we had 10 people or 10,000 people. It's never changed. It's only been the Bible. Go through the Bible, let the results be to God. That's why, listen, I say this lovingly. People have always said along the way, well, you know what, I'm going to leave the church, it's gotten too big. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, okay, gosh, let's just take some people out back and shoot them, and we'll keep the numbers down. As though it was my fault that the church has grown. Well, I remember when we were smaller, and that was a blast. It was a blast, and I loved it too. But you know what? It's different. Look, God never gives up on us. From size of an infancy to our teen years to our old years as people or as a church. Big, small. God doesn't care how big a church is. He just wants to know, is the Word of God going out in that church? Are people's lives being changed by the Word of God? That's the key. Well, it's too big. Okay, you know what? Listen, if the church is too big, God, that's God telling you, get involved. A big church, look, I came from one of the biggest churches in America, and it always felt very small. You want to know why? Because from the very beginning, they tell you, get involved, and that church felt very small. Yeah, granted, we had 20, 25 friends in a gigantic church, but we made those friends by ministering to one another in the big church. Think of that. It's obvious to the believer, thirdly, because of its influence. Christianity, what's so great about it is that it's obvious by its influence. He says, or letters of commendation from you. Paul is saying, I've ministered to you, the fruit is obvious, and I'm going to go minister to other people. Do I need letters from you, Corinthians, to tell other people that, hey, you should listen to Paul. We like him, and he's cool. Paul is saying, are you crazy? It's either of God or it's not. Here's the greatest thing of all. Our lives bear witness that we've been ministered to by God through people. Who led you to the Lord? How did that happen? That person, those people influenced you, didn't they? How did you come to Christ? Take a deep breath and think about that for a moment. I heard somebody... I was actually talking to one of the owners of Salem Radio. That's a massive radio network, you know, nationwide. And we got on the topic about the effectiveness of radio ministry. And the guy told the story. I'll shorten it up. He said people constantly call the Through the Bible radio station. You know who I'm talking about? J. Vernon McGee. And they'll say, I have been so ministered to by Dr. McGee, I'd like to speak to him, please. Well, I don't know how, has it been 10, 15 years he's been in heaven? You better have long distance on your dialing. I'd like to speak to Dr. McGee, please. That is precious. Though he's dead, the ministry of the Word of God continues on. It is awesome. What an influence. Listen, there's no influence like that in the entire world. I wish time would allow me to go into this. I'll simply just say this. The influence of Christianity, the Bible, the Word of God, and the Christian as an individual, nothing comes close to it in all the world. Nothing. No other religion. No other faith system. Why? Because it's beyond us. The influence is not of us. And I love it. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the Bible says that regarding Christians, these are they who have turned the world upside down, was how they were being criticized. Man, when I wrote that verse down, it's not on the screen. Don't even look. I just put it down right here in my notes a little while ago. See, it's not going to be on there. Acts 17, the critics said, these Christians are turning the world upside down. And I thought, how far we have fallen as a 21st century church. I mean church, not you, church in the world. The church, listen, there's enough, we've got bigger churches, the biggest churches that the world has ever seen in America. Massive, 10, 20, 27,000 people attending some churches in America. And is the church, you judge, is the church making a upside down or right side up changing effect in America today? No.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called What's So Great About Christianity? It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the very first paragraph. What's So Great About Christianity? Is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this letter, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Friday, so it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Real Radio listeners email Bible questions to Pastor Jack, and you never know, yours just might be answered right here on Real Radio. Email your question to AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's one from a young lady who writes, Pastor Jack, is it okay to have my devotions with my boyfriend, or should I spend time with God alone?
Okay. How about this? Spend time with God alone first? Okay, go to God first. Why? Because God first, that's why. And boyfriend or girlfriend second. That's awesome, by the way. Praise God. I'm grateful for you doing that. But can you reverse it? God first. And maybe you do. Maybe that's just the way that you sent the question in. But be with God. And then I think you'll have even a better devotional time with your boyfriend or girlfriend because you'll be coming from a biblical God perspective first. Because look, if it's a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're not married yet, so you don't know much about the person. Meaning, if it's a boyfriend or girlfriend, the temptation is like, oh. I think, you know, when she talks to Jesus, angels blush. Or when he reads the Bible to me, I'm sure that's exactly how Jesus' voice was. You know? No, but you can be swayed by your relationship like that. So God first, always God first. God first.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Email your question to AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.